Interested. Today is Saturday, the 26th of June, 2021. I'm Razan Kafle. If you have listened to our podcast or seen us in YouTube, we discuss about important social issues, politics, and anything and everything that affect our lives. At the moment, nothing seems to be more important than football, at least if you live in Europe and you follow football, because the UEFA Euro Championship has reached the knockout stage. Originally scheduled for 2020, the coronavirus pandemic pushed the tournament 1 year behind. Better late than never, the Euros have already provided some fantastic matchups and incredible goals. Today starts the pre-quarterfinal matches, and on Tuesday, England plays old rival Germany. Is England strong enough to get past Germany? And will this be the year England finally wins the Euros? Let's talk to our resident football pundits, Miles and Hamza. Welcome to the show, both of you. Miles, let's begin with Tuesday's game, England versus Germany. What do you think?
I feel like it's going to be a tough matchup. Obviously, going into it, kind of anyone apart from, I would say, Hungary out of that group is going to be quite difficult. But I do feel like Germany don't look unbeatable. They did concede 2 goals versus Hungary. They conceded 2 versus Portugal as well. And also didn't look amazing versus France in their first game. So I feel like it's definitely, you know, it's not like Germany from like 2014, where they kind of look like the best in the world at the moment. They definitely do have some weaknesses there. So I feel like England potentially could do something through that. But that saying, England haven't looked that amazing this tournament so far. I feel like there's obviously a lot of hype with a lot of like young players, exciting players, but we've not really seen it so far.
What is your take, Hamza?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, in terms of like England's chances, I think this is obviously the best chance they've had in years since their golden generation and like that era they had. But I still think because like Germany has played the much more like difficult teams in their group, I reckon they might have a bit too much for England. Yeah, so that being said, yeah, it's going to be a tough game, but I expect Germany to edge it out because of the overall quality they have all over the pitch.
Around team selection, you guys have watched the opening round matches. Do you think Gareth Southgate has made the right call so far?
Personally, no. You've got Jadon Sancho, probably the most informed winger that England have. He's actually had a better season than Foden, yeah, and Grealish. Yeah. He's played a lot better than Sterling and Rashford. And I don't know what he's done, but Gareth Southgate doesn't want to pick him. He's been given 10 minutes so far, which I don't quite understand. I'm not a massive fan of this, like, especially when in games like when we played Scotland, when we played Czech Republic, of playing Rice and Phillips at the same time in midfield, because I feel like whilst they're like both good defensively, they don't really add much going forward. And I've not been a massive fan of that. And I've known what's going on with Kane this tournament, but he's just not in it at all. He's just like, you know, he's just not really doing much at all. And so I've got a lot of questions there. You know, people always question like Southgate's like tactical side of it. He looks like a great man management, but tactics I've always kind of questioned. And yeah, not playing Sancho for me personally is the biggest one.
Hamza, what are your views around team selection?
I don't know what Southgate is thinking, to be honest. Like, he should have started with the wingers like Saka, Grealish, Sancho. Sancho most definitely, because he's one of the most informed wingers, and just not English, but like overall in the world. And he's hit like 30 plus goals and assists for like the second or third consecutive season. But that being said, like, his selections have been very questionable. Southgate, I feel like he only has one game plan and that's it. I don't think he has a plan B or anything. He doesn't have any tactics going forward, because if you see the quality England have, yeah, if you give that same team to like even a average manager, like even if you give it to Mourinho, even Mourinho would make that team like title contenders because they have tactics, they have an identity. I don't think Southgate has an identity, and that says a lot. And yeah, like with Kane, obviously he hasn't been himself, but that's also down to the style of play. Like, their style of play is so everything against like the way Kane plays. Like, you need to utilize him to his strengths. You can't just be playing that sort of like football. And I don't know, like it's just I don't know. They've had a couple easy games here and there, but the business end is here now, and that's where the real party starts now. We'll get to see if England are really about it.
I think I agree with you guys. I think Harry Kane has performed poorly, doesn't seem to be playing with his heart in this tournament. Don't you think Rashford would be a better option? And even Jadon Sancho? Southgate hasn't utilized him much, has he, Miles?
No. I thought the biggest one for me, I thought like Rashford personally for me, I feel like is someone who just played. He looks like someone who's played too much football. Personally, every time I watch him, he looks like someone who just honestly needs a break. And so him, not so much, but definitely Sancho. Especially against Germany, where I feel like we'll be... Germany probably look to have a lot more of the ball. They've got, you know, when you've got players like Kroos and Kimmich in your midfield, they'll be looking to have a lot more possession. Having, you know, a lot of pace and ability to counter, like Sancho, like Rashford, will be really good to have if Southgate chooses them. But part of me just feels like, you know, there's certain players in his team that he absolutely loves. You know, Mason Mount, just, I don't know, Mason Mount will always start, I feel like, you know. And a few players like that who Southgate seems to just kind of put his trust in, and that's it. You know, that they'll start regardless and play.
Hamza is a Spurs fan as well. What do you think about the performance of Harry Kane so far?
Like I said, I feel like he's not being utilised to his maximum strength. But that being said, he has not been in it. Like, I agree with you guys. His heart hasn't been in it. And like, he looks fed up. When he's trying, it doesn't seem like he's fully given his like 100% the way he usually plays for England and how he played during the last World Cup where he won the Golden Boot, if I'm, correct. But what do you call it? That being said, I don't know. His performances have been very average and like below average, if anything. And I feel like in the question about Rashford starting and Sancho being given a like opportunity, obviously Sancho's more of a wing player, and that's him starting against like Saka, Grealish, and all that. But I feel like someone like Rashford in this England setup, the way Southgate plays, he would flourish more than Kane does at striker. If you put Rashford at strike, I think Rashford would flourish more because he's a pacey player. He can stay behind the ball and they can then hit you on the counter-attack. Whereas Kane, he needs the ball in his feet. If he hasn't got the ball in his feet, you have to build a team based around him only. And I think, unfortunately for England, that's not the case with Harry Kane.
I'm agreed about Harry Kane. Saka played really well against the Czech Republic. Him and Grealish created the goal for Sterling, and they were praised a lot after the match as well. Will this start against Germany? What would be your starting 11, Miles?
My starting 11? Well, to be fair, yeah, they both did play quite well. I've had a lot of Arsenal fans that kind of rave about Saka for a long while. But one thing I would say is that, like, apart from, like, the thing I saw about Saka was that he had a good first 45 minutes, but apart from about three or four runs, he wasn't, like, I don't know. I saw it and wanted a bit more out of it, you know, a bit more out of him. And so personally, I think, yeah, whilst he had a decent game, I personally wouldn't start him. Because, you know, personally for me, I feel like it should be, you know, stick with the 4-2-3-1 that obviously England have been doing so far. And then I think behind Kane, it should be, against Germany especially, I feel we should go with pace on the wing. So we'll start Sterling on the left, Grealish at 10, and then play, personally, I think you should play Sancho on the right. I don't think Sancho will play, personally, I don't think Gareth Southgate will pick Sancho, but personally, if it was down to me, I'll be picking Sancho to play on the right-hand side.
How about Phil Foden?
Phil Foden's Foden's a good player, but I just feel like this isn't the right kind of game. The issue with Foden is that he flourishes in a team with a lot of possession, and I just don't feel like we're gonna outpossess a team like Germany. You know, Germany's midfield has a,
we're not outpossessing anyone.
Sorry?
We're not outpossessing no one.
Especially if we're playing Rice and Phillips at holding mid. They're not people who want to keep hold of the ball. They're great defensive midfielders, and Phillips occasionally can do a decent ball forward. But you know, people want to call him the Yorkshire Pillow, but he's not Pillow. You know, he's a good defensive midfield option, but he is not looking to have 60-70% of the ball. And therefore, I feel like Foden is a great player when you have a lot of the ball. You know, when you want him in tight spaces, like unlock a defense. But I think our best bet is to do what Germany did to us back in 2010, which is play on the counter.
What about the defense? Are you fine with the defensive players that he has put on?
I feel like there is only, personally for me, I think even before the World, before the Euro started, the back four goalkeeper picks itself. You know, realistically, it makes sense. You have the United side on the left-hand side, the City side on the right side, you know, so you play Shaw, Maguire, Stones and Walker. I feel like that kind of picks itself. It's the most, like, I would say, it's set up that makes the most sense. And I'll be surprised if Southgate changes it now.
All right, Hamza, against Germany, what would be your starting 11?
You know what, I'd go a bit different, like, because Germany play what, like a 3-5-2 with two wing backs. And as you saw,
yeah,
3-4-3. It depends when they have the ball, they don't have the ball, they change in and out.
Yeah.
So, like you saw against Portugal, and I think that game was just terrible by Portugal. They made Germany look so good. And because Germany has that formation, right, where they play very attacking, their wing backs are high attack, I think we should counter that. And I think we should play our own 3-4-3 or 3-5-2 sort of formation. And I would start Saka, you know, but I wouldn't start Saka right wing. I'll put him left wing back. I'll put Saka left wing back and I'll put Kyle Walker right wing back. I'll start Stones, Maguire and Mings as a three. And I'll have Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice just in the middle. Yeah. Obviously, Henderson still needs a bit more game time, I'm thinking. But he'll be great to bring on if they need to, like, if they're 1-0 up and they need to calm the game down. They need someone with, like, a calm head that can dictate the play. And like side pass. But sorry, and yeah, then obviously up top, I'd just go with like the whole, what's that? 3-3-4. Yeah, 3-4. And three up top, I'd go with Sterling, what you call Sancho and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't see, because we're not gonna possess a midfield, we're not gonna outpossess a midfield of Kimmich, Kroos and Gundogan. Or Goretzka and all them sort of players, like it's not gonna work for us. We're not outrunning them, we're not outpossessing them. The best thing we can do is collectively make a wall for them, like create that Berlin Wall and just try counter on that and from there see how it goes, because I definitely think we have a chance, but that's our only bet. I would definitely start Saka, but I'll play him left wing back because he showed he has those runs in him that you're talking about, those like bursts, that burst of pace. That he's like, him and Grealish are like a breath of fresh air. And I feel like he can use that, those runs from a deeper area, he'll be more effective and he'll be able to get past. Because if people laugh at England's back three, Germany's back three is slow as hell. Like they haven't got, like, I wouldn't even say they have a back three. There's no way we cannot expose that. We need to stop the pacey wingers, stretch them out, pull them out wide, and get the ball into the box, into Harry Kane's strength.
Right. England has not been great. They have just scraped past mediocre teams, but they have been undefeated so far and they haven't conceded yet. Of all the England players, who have impressed you the most? Miles?
So far, I don't know. I'll actually say Jordan Pickford, because I don't know what it is, but he's like one of the few players that seems to play better for England than he does for Everton. He plays a lot better. I feel like every time I watch him at Everton, he's got a mistake in him. He's always like, you know, what team was it? Scotland. Scotland tried to, they put, when they had all their corners and stuff in that game, they tried to pull their big men around him and try, because he's got a lot of mistakes, especially from like set pieces and corners and stuff. And like, he's not great at commanding his box, but playing for England, he seems to be so calm, he seems to play really well. He just puts like a decent like 7 out of 10 performance. So I would say Pickford for me is like the player I would say is always like solid for me for England. So I'll say probably Pickford at the moment because nowhere else has really massively impressed me, to be honest.
How about Hamza? Any players in particular that you're impressed by?
English player. To be honest, I don't really know because the efforts have been a bit more collective. So there's not a, like a player I can like pinpoint. But I'd say it's definitely going to be, for me, it's going to be like someone like Saka or Grealish. Because they came into this boring England team and they showed with just a bit of players that can make runs towards player, like to the opposition, play a bit more beautiful football, make that direct, have a bit more directness to the game. They showed that like there is more to England has to offer. And yeah, for me, it either be one of Grealish or Saka, like there, especially Grealish, the way he was just playing against them, you know, like just crazy the way he was like just his ball retention and how he's so good at breaking the lines down, dragging out players wide and keeping the ball on him. He's so good at that. And I'd say Grealish. And yeah, they definitely need to start like next game, definitely.
All right, let's talk about Germany. They came through the toughest group, nearly went out of the tournament after trailing twice to Hungary. but they are real fighters, aren't they? Do we have no chance, Hamza?
No, yeah. Germany will get past England and what do you call it? They'll play someone like Holland, an organised team, a team that has organisation and good, like a good, like they're a team. They play together and everything. And have an identity, unlike England, and I think they would like trump Germany because there's no way Germany can win with that. And like same goes for teams like Italy as well. I'm not just trying to be biased towards Germany, but these sort of teams, Germany, Italy, you can't win with those old centre backs. No way, because eventually you're gonna bump into Belgium, Portugal, France, and all these other teams, and they will expose you.
How many chances? I'm talking about England chances in particular, because the next game is against Germany. So you think England has no chance at all, or there will be, you know, opportunities for us?
Oh, England, that's how far they can get.
Absolutely. That was the question.
Yeah, England, I think they'll be gone tomorrow. Towards the Tuesday night? That's it. That's their last night.
No, Miles. What do you say?
I don't know. I feel like the game's going to be quite close. I don't feel like anyone's massively favourites, I would say, in that game. I would say Germany definitely, like, going two goals, going behind twice against Hungary, you know, they definitely look beatable. Portugal, I feel like the game against Portugal got their tactics completely wrong against that game. You know, not starting Gian Martino and Renato Sanchez meant that players like Cruz had, like, so much space to, like, ping passes across the pitch the whole time. And as long as England can stop that happening, you know, and then potentially hit on the counter with like forward players, then England definitely have a chance. Like, this isn't, like I said, it's not, Germany seems definitely a bit beatable, and I feel like the game should be quite even, to be honest. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Right. England's record against Germany in the Euros and even the World Cup is quite poor. Since the Wembley win in 1966, they're pretty much knocked us out every time. How should Southgate approach the game for us to beat the ghost of Germany this time, Miles?
I think the best thing to do would be to, I feel like this kind of thing could, like, especially with like kind of forward players we have, you know, as long as we're solid defensively, you know, I feel like we could definitely hit them on the counter because, like Hamza said before, they've got quite slow centre backs, Mats Hummels, players like that, you know, they're not particularly pacey. And I feel like with players like Saka, Sancho, Grealish, you know, Rashford, Sterling, all very quick players, all very good on the ball, I feel like definitely we can like hit them on the counter. Shouldn't be looking to like have possession because that's not where we, you know, kind of our best. You know, kind of just as long as don't concede, I feel like there definitely will be chances. You know,
Hamza, put yourself in Southgate's shoes and tell us what you would do to beat Germany.
Literally, like what me and Mars have been saying, literally just that, like the counter-attack. You're not going to outrun that team. You're not going to out that midfield because the battle, the game is won in the midfield, let's be honest. And Generally, I think like they will need to have more men in the midfield to like counter, and you can't give that much space to Kroos and Kimmich to pass the ball around, set the pace and tempo of the game and dictate the play. So if I'm England, I'm fully focused on making that midfield, like make it a rough game, because they're very classy. They like to keep it neat and tidy. So make it rough, you know, use Calvin Phillips, have those little tactical fouls, pull them down, rough them up, get in early, hit them on the break, have the quick players down the wing, get your wing backs involved into counter-attacks. Don't ask Kane to come in deep. Have Sterling on the offside trap, just ready to go, because that old defence is definitely there to get attacked at. And there's no way I can see Germany. Like, if England play that style, I feel like Germany will struggle.
Right. If we go past Germany, the quarterfinal and the semifinal seem to be an easy ride. If you have seen the semifinal lineup, you know. I can see England in the final if it beat Germany on Tuesday. What do you think, Miles?
Yeah, I definitely feel think so. I feel like the next difficult kind of tough game after that would be Netherlands. And Netherlands, I feel like, are a bit of hit and miss. It's like whilst they play like kind of collectively okay, they've not really got a couple standout players, to be honest. I feel like, you know, they're missing, like, for example, like Van Dijk's injured, they're missing him in defence, and like they've not looked great. Like they were 2-0 up versus Ukraine and then conceded two late goals and almost lost the game, apart from if it weren't for a late goal, I can't remember who it was by, but they almost lost to Ukraine. They've not looked like kind of amazing, but I would say that's probably the most difficult game after Germany until potentially the final, you know, with other teams like France, Portugal, Spain, etc., all on the other side of the draw. The only other game that could be quite interesting would be potentially set up a Wales semi-final. Mm-hmm. And as much as like Wales aren't a great team, because it's Wales versus England, Wales will always give like a lot more, you know what I mean? Especially them in a semi-final, because if they got there, because you know, they don't like historically do very well in tournaments and stuff. And I know that would be a very tense game, you know, having like all the Welsh fans come to Wembley and stuff. That'd be quite intense.
Hamza, if we beat Germany, are we in the finals?
If England beat Germany, then yeah, that would give them a boost of confidence. And that would definitely like urge them on to like get to the finals. But I feel like a team like Netherlands will definitely be a bit more of a task than Germany, because they don't have slow centre-backs, and they actually use their wing-backs very high up the pitch. They play a very attacking game, which can work for England, but I don't know. It's so hard to judge England because of the history they have in international tournaments. You always have high expectations for them, and you kind of like sound a bit stupid after when it's all said and done, because on paper, England should beat Germany. England should beat Netherlands. But that the history in the back of our minds, like, yo, we can't say that, because every time we back England, they do some stupid stuff, and they bottle it. They have the bottling gene, so like the ghost is still in their head.
Okay, let's talk about other teams. We have talked about England a lot. Italy, Belgium, and Holland, they have won all of their matches. France has been pretty impressive for me, at least. Who is your team of the tournament so far, Miles?
Team of the tournament, I would say. Team has looked best so far. It's got to be Italy. I mean, France look like they haven't quite hit full pace yet, but with players that they've got so many good players in their team that I expect them just to, as soon as the games get better, I assume them just to turn up again. Belgium, the things with Belgium is that their key players look injured. Against Denmark, they should have lost that game. Denmark, I feel like if Denmark had not lost Christian Eriksen, I feel like they would have been 2-3 up in the first half, and then late then to bring on Hazard and De Bruyne. Who Hazard, when I watch him, great player, but normally he takes on like 3-4 players, doesn't have the confidence to do it right now. De Bruyne, I don't know if he's even fit enough to play a full 90 minutes. He's a great player, and Lukaku can't do it all on his own. absolutely, he's probably proved right now, he's probably maybe even the best striker in football at the moment in this tournament. He's proved it, you know, after he rolled like three players to set up De Bruyne's goal. But he can't do it all on his own. And I feel like without, you know, without De Bruyne's, you know, coming back from injury, Hazard doesn't look at all the same player he was like 2 years ago. Axel Witt was a bit of what people aren't talking about, where it's like he's injured and he's like basically the legs in the midfield, you know, to kind of allow these four players to kind of do what they're kind of doing. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, definitely for me, I'll say the team has looked the best so far is Italy, but they don't really have like the standout players. And that's generally the players kind of you go for in the big games is like, you know, you're kind of superstars you can turn up, you know. So I feel like, personally for me, I still feel like France still kind of the team to watch.
Hamza, who is your team of the tournament so far?
Definitely Italy. I agree with Miles. But, I mean, some people can say that they haven't had that much competition. Do you get me? All the teams they played, they haven't been tested. Like, you can't be starting with Bonucci and Chiellini. They were appalling for Juventus this season. And they're like, that's a combined age of what? Like, 70, 80? Like, what, 70-something? 74, 75 years of age at centre-back? There's no way, like, they don't get tested. Like, so they are the team of the tournament at the moment because they've had a clean slate. Their second team beat, was it Wales on the last?
Yeah,
beat
Wales 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they beat Wales 1-0, where Wales had a couple of good chances. But that being said, probably Italy, but I'd keep an eye out on France because France just won't go away. They're that good. And obviously, with Portugal, it's like until you have Ronaldo and Co, like if they play correct, then they also have a chance. But right now, to say Italy, look at the team of the tournament, but favourites will always be France.
Right. Talking about big performing players, and we saw some brilliant goals as well, some brilliant individual performances. What has been the highlights of the tournament for you so far, Hamza?
I'd say, the way Denmark, the resurgence, Denmark's resurgence, because after a player like Eriksen goes down, you will tend to think that the whole, like, the way it happened, everything happened. You think people will crumble and you're losing your best friend and, like, you're losing a father, like, a son, a brother. Like, you think the whole nation fell down and whatnot. But then the way they came up the next game and the way they fought, and now they're in the knockout rounds. Like, that's... And no one expected them to make the knockout rounds. So, with that Eriksen as well. So, I definitely think the way Denmark have been playing... And the way their fans have been celebrating, and when they're scoring the goals, and you see Christensen's screamer from 35 yards out, I'm pretty sure you were happy when you saw that as a Chelsea fan. He smashed it into the back of the net, and you see all that. That just feels nice. It's just football. You get chills. Like these are the moments that we live for. And I definitely think Denmark have like outplayed themselves.
Miles, any highlight of the tournament for you so far?
Highlight. Yeah, I'll say that game especially, Christensen's goal, because their third goal kind of secured them to qualify.
Yeah.
When they probably arguably been the best team in that group, even better than Belgium.
Yeah.
And they lost two before that, so everyone was a bit like, whoa, what's going on here?
Mm.
Also, Shaqiri's goal. Who was it again? Yeah, it was like a right foot curler from outside the box. You know, absolutely amazing goal.
Yeah,
but it's kind of thing Shaqiri, I feel like Shaqiri, when he plays for Switzerland, always like shows up big. You know, it's kind of it's his talent everyone kind of knows he kind of has, but you don't really see it most games.
A lot of local players that didn't perform in the league are performing for clubs. Wijnaldum's playing like Zidane.
Wijnaldum, he plays in a very different role.
Yeah.
For Holland, he does, which kind of shows how good a player he is, and I definitely feel like we're going to miss him. Now he's gone to PSG.
Mm-hmm. I remember that Modric goal against Scotland as well. You know, that was a cracker. Other goal scored against Scotland by Czech Republic, wasn't it great?
Yeah, amazing. Outside the boot, you know. Modric is the outside boot king, the king of the Trivellas. So, as a Madrid fan, seeing Modric play for us for the last 8 years, it wasn't really a surprise because that's how good he is. He's the greatest midfielder of the generation. You know, he wasn't born. Yeah, he wasn't brought up or born into like one of the top nations or whatever. He's come from a war-driven country, and growing up. So for Modric, I was really happy to be 36 years of age and to perform at this level. Not many midfielders have done it, but Zidane, that I can think of at the age of 36, carrying the nation to like big games and consistently performing at that level, which was amazing by Modric. He's a standout player.
Okay, so today's matches are Wales versus Denmark and Italy versus Austria. Make your prediction, guys.
I'm going Denmark to beat Wales. I feel like they've looked really good even without Christian Eriksen, and I just want them to do well, to be honest. And Italy definitely, they've looked really good.
Mm-hmm. Hamza?
Yeah, definitely. Denmark, I think Denmark 2-1 against Wales. I think Wales will get the first goal, but then Denmark will make probably rally back, pull a goal, and second goal will just break the Welsh hearts. And then obviously Italy playing Austria, right? So I'm intrigued to see how Italy do against, like, now that the level's gone up a little bit. Like, you're playing Austria now, they're a good team. They got very like known players around Europe. You never really fought that with Austria. Like, they got quite a good squad. Again, they don't have that much pace up top, so would they expose Italy? I don't know about that, but it'll definitely be a cagey game. But I'd say, yeah, Italy, man. Italy, they'll be looking good. It would be stupid to go against them. So I'd say Italy probably 2-1 and Denmark 2-1.
Okay. Portugal is playing Belgium tomorrow. I think it's obvious for Cristiano Ronaldo from the Euros. Hamza, will you be heartbroken tomorrow?
That's not going to happen, bro. That's not going to happen. Unfortunately, for Portugal, they've played in the group stages against all the difficult teams, all different sort of teams. So the teams that are coming out of that Group F, the most difficult group ever in history, they're going to be ready. They're going to have the most fight in them. So there's nothing Belgium can offer. Belgium's been playing these teams, like, other than Denmark, there's no one really challenging them. And that being said, I think if Portugal play again with that same lineup, with the way they did against France, which they should have beaten France, by the way, France got a very fluky penalty. Mbappe channeling his inner young Ronaldo days by diving. So that being said, I feel like Belgium's not going to have enough for the GOAT, for the greatest of all time. And that's CR7, baby. And he's going to get the job done like he always does.
Miles, take your pick for the win. Belgium or Portugal?
Miles, behaviour
like is very close, but I'm actually going to go with Portugal. I feel like Portugal... The thing is that, you know, I've watched Ronaldo for years, and big games, big moments. And I feel like Belgium, I don't think, will have enough to challenge Portugal. They've not looked amazing. I mean, if for example, De Bruyne can look fully fit, maybe if Witzel is fully fit, maybe. But I feel like Portugal definitely, especially. But the big thing is that will they get the team selection right, because they got it completely wrong versus Germany and got completely turned over.
I have a different view. I think Belgium will win, but let's see. Let's wait until tomorrow. Okay, guys, now the million-pound question. Who do you think will play in the final, and who are you putting your money on to win the whole thing? Miles first.
You know, part of me wants to, you know, back England, but unfortunately, I feel like as soon as you look at France's squad, you really can't look past them. You know, when you've got a squad like that, when you've got, obviously, winning in 2018 without Benzema, and then Benzema coming into the team just makes them even better. Scoring 2 goals the other day as well. You know, France look like they can kind of do it. And then kind of, they've also got players come off the bench as well. You know, when you've got Kingsley Coman and Dembele and players like that sat on your bench, just like, you know, they're just that good. So I feel like you can't really look past France, unfortunately.
Hamza, pick a winner in short.
If I was being biased, obviously I'd be like Portugal. But yeah, it's difficult to look past France. And I feel like if anyone does beat, whoever beats France is going to win. For me, whoever comes out from that side, because one side is so good of the draw, and the other side only has England and what you call Germany and Holland. And Holland is a maybe for you guys as well. So That being said, look at the other side, it's just heavy. But for me, whoever beats France is going to win the final. And you know what? France, all of a sudden, they've lost both their left backs to injury. Ousmane Dembele's gone home. He's also out for the tournament. So they've all of a sudden, their bench hasn't got that depth no more in the right places. They're going to have to start playing Kimpembe, who's a liability and who has been playing like a liability at left back. And it's going to be a bit of a struggle. I'm interested to see how France attack this now because they're backs against the walls now. It's time to perform. And yeah, let's see what happens. But you know what? It's going to be France versus Germany in the final or something like that. My heart says Portugal, but France, Germany in the final.
Right. Mine speaks France and Hamza is torn between France and Germany. You know, in our last football talk, I said Chelsea is going to win the Champions League. And boy, I'm so right. So here's another prediction, yeah? England will be the winner. Come on, England.
England, yeah.
I like your faith.
I wish I was as optimistic as you.
We'll bring it. We'll win it. Let's wait, huh? So that's it, guys, for today. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the matches and long live football.
100%. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Next time.